Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now. A show for veterans by veterans.
Good evening and welcome to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we welcome you to the most important and entertaining show on the radio each week as we discuss the issues facing our veterans today. We got a great show coming up for you, but first I want to thank some of the sponsors that helped make this show possible. Right, Tom?
We certainly do. We'd like to thank the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Viva Medicare of Alabama, the law firm of Godberg and Kimberly, Ed's Fantabulous Seafood Shed, the official sponsor of Tom's Tirade, Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, and we want to welcome on board our newest sponsor, Johnny's RV, the home of the Sweet Deal. Sweet deal. I about to lost that one, didn't I? Sweet deal.
That false deal. I don't know about that false set. But we
my
do want
to. Doesn't go there.
We do want to thank all our sponsors, and you are great listeners because we could not do this without your support. So please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. And remember, SBN is all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them. So you can always join in the discussion on Facebook or follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN. And you can always check out scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information as well. And later this hour on SBN, we are going to talk with veteran, author, commentator, and social media giant Montgomery Granger. As a veteran who served at Club Gitmo, he's going to give us his take on the current state of affairs vis-a-vis the weekend at Biden's administration call to close the terrorist paradise. He'll also give us his take or his review on the newly released movie, The Mauritanian. It actually has not made it, I don't think, into theaters down here. But you can always, like most everything else with the pandemic, you can get it online through some of the streaming services. But he'll let us know his thoughts on that. And Tom's tirade on, hey, dude, we're getting the band back together. And if you can call in and let us know what movie that's from. Tom has no idea. Anyway, you don't want to miss it.
You don't want to get me started now, you know?
There you go.
I can remember the car riding around with the big microphone and all on top of it.
Oh, there you go. Hey. with that being said, you don't want to miss that.
Yep.
But first, it's always a privilege to be joined by Mr. Nick DiMario from Ed's Seafood Shed. Hey, Nick, welcome back to SBN. Thank you for everything you do for our veterans, military, and our first responders.
Hey, man. Thanks for coming by tonight. How was your dinner?
Woo!
It was outstanding. That snapper.
That's better than outstanding. It's better than that.
Hey, you got Justin. Sounds like you got Justin Wilson in there.
Yeah. Tom has found his upper range for some
reason.
Sweet deal. That fried snapper with that Causeway hot sauce.
Ooh.
I call it hot snapper.
Hot snapper, huh? Yeah, those are always good.
Oh,
yeah.
I knew I walked down that rabbit hole when I played. I was like, I better.
Love that hot snapper, Bo.
Here we are, 4 minutes into the show, and it's all going down.
Some more of that hot stuff.
And I thought there wasn't any lower than we could go.
Come on, baby. Break it on.
So, hey.
The hot snapper was good.
The hot snapper was great. It was so sweet.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, that was not the only thing that we had over there. And the rest of the food was really good, too.
Yeah, it was. I enjoyed it. We had a gracious lady there with us and very enlightening on, I told her she had to be at least 60 for all the things she's done and places she's been.
She's not. I was in awe of her dedication to what she was talking about as far as the military.
Yes.
There's certain people that when they're talking and they're talking about something they do and they talk about being passionate. I mean, I think I'm passionate about the restaurant business and food, but I think she was super passionate about what she does for helping the military, which was amazing.
She does. And she's a military vet. It's Ms. Tanya that was on here with us, last week? A couple of weeks ago. And she's a doctor in sports medicine. Over in Daphne, and enjoyed the conversation. It was just a good evening.
Oh, yeah.
I have never had a bad evening at HID, so, man, with the food and the adult beverages y'all got over there.
Yeah, there's so many cool things fixing to happen. The weather's fixing to bust out. I mean, last week was amazing, and we're still working on a cool facility there, and, we'll work on that parking lot. Obviously, we're in the swamp, but we've had so much fun with the adult milkshakes, and we're getting that bottom patio covered, and we're going to actually kick off some really killer music this spring and summer.
And you going to have a dance floor?
Continue to expand that. Cal's going to give me a lot of his recipes, and we're going to expand that culinary genius menu.
Yeah, y'all had me so damn hungry there, and I was eating the whole time. But all of that stuff that y'all, the menus that you kept throwing out there, and mixtures of this food, mixtures of that food, I'm going like, Well, wait a minute. Y'all got to get over to another table. I see you interfering with my eating and drinking here.
We were exercising your jaws. You guys exercise your brain. We like to exercise your jaws.
I got to tell you, a sweet deal, baby.
So Nick, I know you mentioned you got the music that's going to be rolling out. When is that going to – is that going to be on the weekends, or how's that going to work?
I think we back into everything as and everything going on. And I think that within 5 to 6 weeks, you'll start seeing our schedule as far as, we'll post what we're doing on social media through Facebook and Instagram as far as who we're times they'll be served. And then, we start early. I mean, we may even do the reverse role. Come eat breakfast and listen to somebody play guitar and have a adult beverage.
Why not? Yeah. Well, yeah, be Saturday. Saturday, Sunday morning would be great. My preacher might not like that, but
you're not going to be able to get Tom out of there.
Can I stay all day?
We're always glad to have you all there, and you guys are great partners with us, and I love what y'all do as far as supporting the military and trying to make a difference. And that's all we're doing through food and fun, man. We have to. People say, the restaurant business is hard, but reality is it's not. It's actually the greatest business that I could ever wish on myself because I get to make people happy through meeting them through food and fun. I mean, Tom's become a friend through food, man. Cal's become a food through food and service. And the service is the same thing, man. You're there to serve and protect, and we're there to feed and make fat. So.
Yeah. Yeah, my gym owner loves it too because he knows I have to get in there and work it off.
That's those fried green tomatoes, man.
Ooh, what you talking
about? To you.
Those were good.
Well, yeah, and you did treat us to a little bit of that SOS.
Yes.
Oh, man, that shrimp on a shingle, and that was something me and Pete were just playing around with. And we're like, yeah, you remember when you used to have on a shingle?
Right, yeah, SOS in service.
Do some seafood. And with that white barbecue sauce on there, man, it's just
ooh.
And that char. You really like that? That char toast to me makes a huge difference.
Oh yeah, it makes a difference.
That flavor profile.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think there's a number of different things. I mean, the shrimp are great on it, but that that the char toast is a great foundation to be able to build on.
I noticed somebody enjoyed some of that red snapper down there and had some greens and all on his.
Oh,
Woo!
It was good. It was absolutely good.
Miss Mel's been making greens there for 17 years.
Oh my goodness!
And then, you know, our greens are a mixture of collards and turnips, and then we take that ham hock and we slow roasted all day long and then let those greens cook down. And then we add a little bit of spicy mustard in there. Oh, my God.
Yes.
I could sip it with a straw.
Yep.
Good stuff.
It's good, baby. It's good.
Hey, Nick, hey, thank you so much for being on with us. Thank you for the great food. And, hey, it looks like there's some great weather coming up. So get out to Ed's this weekend. The sunset was fabulous. So, Nick, thank you again for everything.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, buddy.
All right. Hey, on the other side of the break, veteran and commentator Montgomery Granger with his thoughts on Gitmo 2021 when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
This is the end. Beautiful friend,
I've been a soldier since I was 19, and I still haven't learned how to wait for it. I wanted a mission for my sins. They gave me one.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans. For the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Our number is 343-0106 or 866-983-2777. You can also catch us on the TuneIn app for your smartphone. Of course, you can check us out on Facebook. And if you like to listen on demand, our regularly aired programs are up on most of the podcasting sites. Just search for Scuttlebutt or SBN. And Tom's Tirade is up on CastBox, which that's the only platform where that one's available right now. So if you like to listen on demand, might want to get your blood pressure up, especially with Tom's Tirade. That's the place to go. But hey,
they might be like Twitter. They might delete them.
I don't know if that. Well, not yet.
They haven't been yet. Anyway.
Not yet.
After tonight, they might be though.
Well, we've said that before, Tom.
Okay.
Yeah, they haven't come to get us just yet. I don't see anybody outside the doors, but it is an honor and privilege to be joined on SBN by a veteran and true patriot, Army Major Montgomery Granger, retired. Hey, Monty, welcome back to SBN, and thank you for your service.
Well, thank you, Tom and Calhoun, to all my Army brothers and sisters out there, and to all the veterans. Thank you all for your service, and I appreciate being on with you.
Well, it's great to have you back. I say have you back. It's been a while. We were talking there just off air. We had you on right after you published your book, and so it's been a few years. But for those in our audience who may not be familiar with you and your book, just give us a little background on you and your time in the service.
Yeah, sure. I'm a husband and a father of five first. I'm a teacher and public school administrator by profession. I'm a 22-year U.S. Army veteran. I was 5 years as a combat medic, so I'm a Mustang, and 17 years as a medical service officer. Think hospital administrator or field medical officer or advisor to commanders on medical, preventive medical, and environmental services, and lastly for a detention facility. My last 9 years in the Army from 1999-2008 were spent with enemy prisoner of war military police brigade liaison units, or BLDs. They're small 12-person diverse command and quality control units for detention operations.
And so that is what brought you down to your time there at Gitmo, right?
Yeah, that's correct. After 9/11, we were told pack a bag, come on in. I live on Long Island, New York, and about 40 miles from my house is the 800th MP Brigade, where my unit was housed. No one knew what the hell was going on. And when we figured it out, the general said, keep your bags packed, boys. You're going somewhere. We didn't know where. Talked about Guam. We talked about Diego Garcia. But the conversations always came back to Gitmo because logistically, it was the ideal place. And it is still the most safe and secure place for bad guys.
Well, that's what you were dealing with. And it's, I think it's one of the neat ways that you put it is you were there trying to take care of bad guys who ultimately wanted to kill you.
Exactly. And while I was there at the U.S. detention facility in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, I served as the ranking U.S. Army Medical Department officer with the Joint Detainee Operations Group. And back then there were two joint task force, 160, which was mine, the incarceration mission, and 170 was the intelligence gathering of JTF. My job was basically to write daily reports based on my observations, medical intelligence intake, and from daily Fleet Hospital 120 staff meetings. Fleet Hospital 120, a Navy MASH unit on the beach. It was the detention hospital where several detainees were treated for war wounds, received treatment and rehab. The detainees were treated with dignity and respect. But it wasn't always a two-way street, gentlemen. The detainees frequently splashed the guards with bodily fluids, sucker punched them, and threatened them and their families. Some detainees were more spirited, however, and one in particular we called Wild Bill displayed really bizarre behavior, like taking bites out of his flip-flops, hanging items from his genitals, starting riots or chants within the detention camp. But finally, we confirmed that he was a cold turkey heroin addict and an office med schizophrenic. He eventually became the very first detainee we repatriated. In fact, I drove the Humvee that took him to his Freedom Bird and got a chance to speak with him a while before his plane arrived. You know, a few days after he left, you know, we were proud that we could keep him alive, and he was no longer a threat to the U.S. nor of any intelligence value. But a few days after he left, my boss, having just returned from a spook party, that's a party hosted by the Alphabet Soup agency guys, told him our returning detainee was killed upon his arrival back to Afghanistan. It was horrible. We work our tails off daily to keep these guys alive, and then boom, he gets assassinated. We couldn't believe it.
Well, was that something that you were led to believe would happen if these detainees were repatriated?
Not at that time. This was the first guy, so we got a clear green light signal that he would be taken back, that he'd be put in rehab. And you know what happened, guys? After a few weeks after we got this spook news, we find an online article titled "The One That Got Away." And there, in the photograph in the article, in all his glory, sitting on a hospital bed in Kandahar, was this guy, Wild Bill, that we cared for and then released. He's happy as a bluebird and telling everybody how well he was treated at Gitmo.
I missed the
article I ever read about.
Yeah, I missed the glowing reviews from the detainees like that. I missed out on that. The New York Times, yeah. they missed that quote.
Well, since we talked last, Politiflix, which is a political film company, made a short documentary film, and this story about Wild Bill is featured in the film. The film is called Heroes of Gitmo, and it's featured on YouTube.
Well, that's a great little nugget for those who are listening out there if they'd like to be able to pick up on that. But, you know, because there was, and I think still is, a lot of misinformation about what was going on there at Gitmo and what is going on at Gitmo. You know, and in fact, for you know, for a number of years, you didn't hear a whole lot. Really, the last time there was a lot of uproar about what was going on in Gitmo was in the Obama administration, when they were rushing the detainees out the door as quickly as they could in an effort to ultimately close the place. But that kind of was tamped down. Now you have the Biden administration that is now in place, and they're once again floating the idea of closing Gitmo. What are your thoughts on the current climate and where we might be going with that?
Well, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, we've released 731 detainees, and not one has been executed, beheaded, blown up, hacked to death, dragged naked and lifeless through the streets, drowned or burned alive. All things our enemies have done to us and our allies.
Yeah.
In fact, there's no moral comparison between Gitmo and how our enemies treat their captives. And up to 30% of these released Gitmo detainees were known or suspected recidivists, have gone back to the battlefield. Now, how much sense does that make? Gitmo is a small piece to the big puzzle, gentlemen, of how we win the global war on terror. And President Barack Hussein Obama said he was going to close it. And for 8 years, he got credit for closing Gitmo without closing it. But he released some of the worst, including five Taliban leaders in exchange for one U.S. military traitor.
Oh, yes.
What most people don't get, guys, though, is Obama's 2009 Military Commissions Act gave unlawful combatant Islamists who want to kill us and are, being accused of war crimes, the very same rights you or I would enjoy in a federal court of law. So now you know the real story of why it's taking so long to prosecute those being held at Gitmo awaiting trial.
Yep.
Including
all right, Monty.
Khalid Sheikh Mohammed.
Monty, I hate to jump in. We're up against a break. We're going to hold you over to the other side of the break. But we are talking with Montgomery Granger. We'll have more with him and his thoughts on the Mauritanian when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. I'm Cal Walters, along with Tom Claxton. We're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today.
And we certainly want to thank for all the fine folks that continue to help make this show possible. The battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, our sea lawyer Colin Kimberly, and all the fine folks at the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Viva Medicare of Alabama, Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, and we want to welcome on board our newest sponsor, Johnny's RV, the home of the sweet deal. And no, I didn't say
he didn't. He didn't go for it.
I said, I'm going to mess him up. Sweet deal.
You got a pretty mouth, boy.
That's a sweet deal.
Anyway, Monty's like, what did I get myself into?
Sugar won't melt in that mouth.
There you go. But we are talking with Army veteran Montgomery Granger. Hey, Monty, again, welcome back to SBN. Thank you for your service, and thank you for sharing your thoughts with us today. And prior to the break, you had started talking about some changes that were made by the Obama administration that sort of opened the doors, in some instances quite literally, for these detainees down in Gitmo. Follow us, I guess, pick up where you left off and bring us back in with that story.
Sure. The detainees were trained to, one, lie about their treatment and incarceration, and two, lawyer up. So detainees practice lawfare, which is basically exploiting the U.S. legal system in order to get lesser sentences or even released. And again, in part by lying about their treatment. And we're going to talk about someone who did that in a few minutes. But Gitmo is really the finest military detention facility on earth. I worked with International Committee of the Red Cross Physicians, who told me at Gitmo and later in Iraq, no one does detention operations better than the U.S. The detainees down there is Club Gitmo. They enjoy free Korans, prayer rugs and beads, directions to Mecca, halal and holy Muslim holiday meals, services of U.S. military Muslim chaplains, white robes, world-class health, dental, and vision care, recreation library, and on and on and on.
And I think they had really a $500,000 soccer field.
That's correct. And it all goes to the philosophy, which pisses some Americans off. You want to keep them fat and happy because then they're more cooperative and hopefully give you the information they want and not try to hurt anybody.
Well, unfortunately, that's not always the case. And this movie that has been released in the last couple of weeks, The Mauritanian, it covers at least that from the perspective of one of the detainees. But give us your thoughts. I know you've watched the movie. I have also seen it. But you having been there and seen what those detainees were capable of, what are your thoughts about if somebody's looking to go and see this movie?
Sure. On my blog site, SavingGraceAtGuantanamoBay.com, I have a long read review of it, which is very detailed. But the Mauritanian is a very well made film with superb acting. Jodie Foster earned a Best Acting Golden Globe for her portrayal as Nancy Hollander, the pro bono attorney who defended the hero of the film, Mohamedou Al-Swahi. I know the man. We kind of chatted back and forth on Twitter for a while after he got out. We exchanged books. But every time I want to talk about Al-Qaeda, he got silent. But the look and feel of Gitmo in the movie seemed more accurate than not. They got a lot of details right. But, however, by calling it a true story, I think they set the bar too high for themselves. There were many inaccuracies, exaggerations, and then, unfortunately, outright falsehood. It's as if they had CIA on as consultants. Now, I love CIA. They're the tip of the spear. We need them. But I don't trust them as far as I could throw them. They're experts at deception. So this was an Islamist apologist, sympathy with the devil, Hollywood hit piece on the military. And the film portrayed the military as kind of zombie-like, ornery jerks, unless, of course, there was sympathy shown toward the detainee. So then the military personnel were portrayed as good guys for breaking the rules. They said out loud they were not supposed to break, like telling the detainee their name.
Right.
At one point, the detainee asked, "Hey, what's your name?" "I can't tell you." And then a couple scenes later, he's calling him Steve. So those behaviors led to other forbidden actions that put others and themselves at risk. So is it true? Who knows? But it's damning. It makes us look bad because we're always breaking the rules in these Hollywood flicks about military. The most egregious thing, in my opinion, however, was that the movie portrays the agency's secret squirrels as the good but ineffective guys, while trying to portray the military, specifically military intelligence, as the bad guys. When we arrived at Gitmo, Donald Rumsfeld, the Secretary of Defense, told us the detainees were not entitled to any rights, but we would treat them within the spirit of Geneva, which suited us because we don't train to perform any differently than them. The Mauritanian doesn't portray reality at Gitmo to the point where anyone would want to flee in horror. But abuse scenes were so incredible, I found them hard to watch, especially at the hands of people in U.S. Army uniforms. It just didn't happen. They had these civilian guys who were supposed to be CIA, being the nice guys, and they said, "Oh, you don't want to tell us? Well, here come the Army guys." When in reality, it's flipped. Only CIA were trained in enhanced interrogation techniques, like waterboarding, which was only used on a handful of detainees in order to obtain valuable information that saved many lives. So for some reason, the movie did a hit job on the Army, but let the CIA kind of hang out with shrugged shoulders and saying, oh, I guess we can't get the info from them.
Well, and that even plays into his ultimately, well, I don't know if it, spoiler alert, he gets out, you know, he wins his case. But part of that was that, you know, the CIA or whoever did the initial reports, not the summaries, you know, they said, oh, there's plenty of evidence there. And then they went back and somehow they weren't able to put all those pieces together. And ultimately, because the Obama directive gave them the ability and access to lawyers and basically our civilian court system, they go in and say, you know, we're going to file a writ of habeas corpus. The judge turns around and he grants the detainee the win in the case. Like, as you said, they held him another 7 years. He goes home and is greeted as a hero.
He's a hero. But if you get a chance to look on the Guantanamo docket on NewYorkTimes.com for this guy, he's got many, many pages. He was a bad, bad dude.
Well, yes. And ultimately, and Monty, we've got about a minute left. But ultimately, yeah. I mean, this is the guy who they think in many ways was a financier and recruiter for the 9/11 hijackers.
Which means, as a salesman, he knew how to deceive. And he was great at lying.
Correct. Correct. And I think that is something that you need to go and do some reading. Don't just go by what's in this movie. And if you're in the military, the movie will probably frustrate the living hell out of you, to be honest with you.
Yep.
But hey, Monty, thanks again for being with us. Again, what's the website? How can folks get in touch with you? And if they'd like to get your book, which is a fantastic read, go ahead and give us your information.
Sure, Saving Grace at Guantanamo Bay, a memoir of citizen warriors, available on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, anywhere where you can do that. You can catch me on Twitter and Gab at MJ Granger and the number one, MJ Granger 1. And I'm on Twitter all the time. I love to have chit-chat. And I appreciate everything you guys have done. And just remember that review is at SavingGrace@GuantanamoBay.com. And the movie Heroes of Gitmo is on YouTube.
And hey, we'll post some links on our Facebook page, and I'll post them on Twitter for you as well. Monty, again, thank you for your service, and thanks for being with us.
Thank you, gentlemen. God bless you, and have a great evening.
You too. Hey,
thank you, Monty. Appreciate your service, brother.
On the other side of the break, Tom's tirade on getting the band back together.
Mr. Tom Claxton.
Some in the conservative media and others in the political pundit class have followed our lead here at SBN and have begun referring to the current regime as the weekend at Biden's administration in recognition of the similarities between Life Support Joe, propped up by Kamala Harris and Susan, let's go to the videotape, Rice, and the movie weekend at Bernie's, where two friends have to quite literally pop up their dead boss over the course of a weekend of beachfront partying in order to convince everyone that he is still in charge. One particular political cartoon actually went so far as to portray Biden behind the desk of the Oval Office, with Obama propping up his head while an all-too-anxious Kamala Harris holds the hand that launched 1,000 executive orders. All humor aside, the opening salvos of the Biden regime, coupled with the dizzling pace at which they have been dropped on the heads of the American people, have caused me to reconsider my classification of the political landscape. Instead of weekend at Biden's, a more appropriate comparison might be back to the future of the Wizard of Oz, with Obama as the man behind the curtain. In just a short 4 weeks, the American public has been treated to the implementation of anti-American policies by executive fiat unlike any other time in our history. Biden's orders have stopped construction of the wall along the U.S.-Mexico border, inviting caravans of illegal aliens into our country with a no check on COVID, He reversed the ban on transgender individuals serving in the U.S. military, costing the taxpayers money for elective surgeries and reducing our force readiness. But he reversed Trump's travel ban on mostly Muslim countries, allowing terrorists unfettered access to our nation. He rejoined the World Health Organization, effectively putting China back in control of the global health network. He rejoined the Paris Climate Agreement and rolled back Trump energy policies, such as the contract for the Keystone XL pipeline, costing tens of thousands of high-paying skilled union jobs, as well as driving up the price of gas by nearly 50 cents, while decimating domestic energy production and making us beholden, once again, to Vladimir Putin and the oil sheiks from OPEC, while making socialist sh-holes like Venezuela rich. Oh, and he wants to get cozy with the mullahs in Iran once again. The same mullahs responsible for killing and maiming our troops in Iraq and Afghanistan. I guess after doing nothing for 47 years as a politician, he was well-rested and raring to go. The damage that will come from his orders will be far-reaching, both in its immediate scope as well as its long-term effects. For most Americans, this must feel like a slap in the face, almost as if Biden is the withered hand of vengeance for the communist progressive whose policies were repudiated by the American people under President Trump, and who now feel emboldened to come in from the cold and run roughshod over the great nation and its patriots. Nowhere is it safe to believe in the Constitution, lest you be placed on a blacklist or scheduled for deprogramming and re-education. The halls of Congress are no safe haven, with vicious attacks from communists such as AOC on originalists such as Ted Cruz coming on an almost daily basis with no limits to her vitriolic, hateful remarks. Neither is the military, which was ordered into a stand down to drive out freedom-loving patriots to the Constitution under the guise of the phantom menace of white supremacy. Of course, along with the reimposition of the draconian dictates from the Obama regime, came the resurrection of so many familiar faces from the halcyon days of the progressive push, such as the spokesbabe for Biden, Jen P. Psaki, who served in Obama's communications department and has circled back to her old digs. The aforementioned liar of Benghazi, Susan Rice, now pulling the strings on the equality front. John Curry, who served in Vietnam and who is currently using his self-appointed superhero status to single-handedly fight climate change by using his invisible private jet almost exclusively to save the world. And Dennis McDonough, the bureaucrat apologist for the VA waitlist scandal, who now runs the whole show.
We're putting the band back together.
Of course, along with the familiar faces running cover for Dead Fish Joe, a number of other rock stars from the Obama regime are putting their best foot forward, including one of the great traitors made famous by OB, Bo Bergdahl. You may remember that Bergdahl pleaded guilty in 2017 to desertion and misbehavior before the enemy after leaving his post in Afghanistan in June 2009 and setting off a massive search and rescue operation that involved thousands of U.S. troops. Six soldiers were killed while searching for Bergdahl. Yet the communist-in-chief, Barack Hussein Obama, proudly appeared outside the White House in 2014 with the traitor's parents to announce his freedom after OB handed over the Taliban 5 from Gitmo. Don't forget, it was Obama's National Security Advisor, Susan Rice, who said that Bergdahl, quote, served the United States with honor and distinction while consorting with the enemy. The same piece of feces, traitor has now filed a petition in federal court seeking to have his military conviction and sentence expunged based on arguments of unlawful command influenced by former President Donald Trump and new information from the judge who presided over his court-martial. These same arguments were brought up during the trial and were dismissed as recently as last August by the Court of Appeals for the Armed Forces, which upheld his conviction, saying the comments did not invalidate his prosecution, adding that Bergdahl's decision to plead guilty played heavily in the case. Actually, his plea was a coward's way out of standing before a firing squad. So why wait until now to file such a specious argument? One only has to look as far as who now sits in the Oval Office and where his communist handler sympathies lie. These are the same comrades who decided it was appropriate to commute the 35-year sentence of Bradley Manning, convicted of violating the Espionage Act for releasing over 200,000 United States diplomatic cables and over 400,000 classified Army reports, and was set free by Comrade Obama to appease the transgender community. The same comrades who thought it was fitting to prosecute and jail American heroes who did nothing more than act upon the training to save the lives of their fellow soldiers in combat. The same bastards who left our ambassador and brave soldiers in Benghazi to die at the hands of a terrorist mob. And the same sons of bitches who are now on a witch hunt to purge the military of every red-blooded patriot in the ranks. The fact that this piece of flotsam still breathes is a testimony to the forgiveness that exists within the American people. But for him to have the gall to ask that his very lenient sentence be overturned is just another slap in the face of those who have served honorably and the families of those who never came back looking for his sorry, traitorous ass. We may forgive, but we certainly don't forget. Bergdahl should endure the shame of a dishonorable discharge for the rest of his miserable existence and be thankful that we didn't follow the suggestions of President Trump that Bergdahl be sent back over to serve the Taliban as the little traitorous bitch that he is. For the Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Claxton. Are you pissed off yet?
Where's your drill sergeant, man?
Hold up, sir!
So am I to understand that you men completed your training on your own?
That's the fact, Jack!
These are exactly the kind of men I want working on the Scuttlebutt Network.
Oh, well, Tom, you had a little bit to say there, huh?
Well, let me tell you something. At my age, a life sentence don't mean crap to me, okay?
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, Voice of the Veterans for the Veterans.
For the Veterans.
There you go. You're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, a couple old Marines with just a little bit to say. The First Amendment right to say it in the fighting spirit, to keep it. And hey, Monty, I think you listened to the tirade with us there. What are your thoughts, man?
Oh, my gosh. That was beautiful.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. I'm bowing. Can you see? I'm bowing.
Oh, that's an A+. Look, the thing that occurred to me, especially as you got to the Bergdahl piece, was how do these people think this affects morale?
Right.
When this guy did what he did and came back and did not face the firing squad.
Right. You tell him.
And like you said, six people lost their lives.
Right. Right.
Looking for a traitor?
Right. Yes.
What is the impact, of something like that that just sticks with you? And those five Taliban leaders that Barack Hussein Obama released became negotiators, right?
Oh, yes. Yes.
They became negotiators with the Taliban and the U.S. Regarding ending hostilities in Afghanistan. So they were released and then put into very prestigious positions among their peers. And that, again, was a slap in the face. They did a segment with Pete Hegseth on Fox News about that. And I told Pete, I said, if there's an opening for peace, I'll take it. But what I think is that they should have guys like you, Pete, on the other side of the table staring these guys down. Get some veterans
right.
on that table for negotiating with no legs or arms or
damn right.
over their eyes.
Damn right. Tell them about it.
Or heck,
at
this point, Monty, get some of the orphans who have never known their parents who died trying to go and find a Bergdahl while he was playing around with his Taliban buddies. But hey, Monty, we absolutely appreciate you joining us, and we appreciate you staying on and appreciate your comments.
We will be back in touch.
My pleasure, guys, and a big salute. You can't see it, but here goes.
All right.
Outstanding. Hoorah. Yeah. Have a good one.
Take care, man.
Thank you, buddy. That's all.
And Tom, great information there in the tirade. You didn't hear a lot about what was going on with Bergdahl.
Right.
So I figured out we could at least bring all of that together in one place. As he mentioned, they released five of it's not like they were low-level Taliban folks.
No.
And did it without advising Congress. There were no. That's a story for another time. But we appreciate Monty being with us. We'll post some links to his stuff. Again, we thank everybody for being here with us. Hey, remember those in harm's way? God bless America. Remember, hero is not a four-letter word. We will catch you on the other side.
Hola.